I'm back with George Conway. Last week, Republicans passed a funding package along with seven Democratic votes in the House of Representatives that would allocate nearly $65 billion for the Department of Homeland Security, including $10 billion for ICE. Before Saturday's shooting of Alex Pretty, Democrats in the Senate were weighing up whether or not they were going to vote for that package. Well, as we're speaking, there's still some uncertainty over this, but the threat had been that Democrats would somehow hold future funding or extra funding for ICE hostage unless they got their way. And if that meant a government shutdown, then that was a threat that they were prepared to make. So that was on the table in these last hours. I'm interested to know now, you know, you want to join their ranks, you want to be a Democrat member of the House of Representatives, what you think Democrats should do now, whether they should make a compromise to keep the government open, even a compromise on ICE funding, or whether they should hold the line and offer not a cent more to the masked men of ICE.
I think they have to hold the line. I mean, Congress's power under the Constitution is the power of the purse. All appropriations must be voted for and approved by Congress. I don't see how anybody in good conscience, Republican or Democrat, can vote to fund this thuggish, fascist attempt to create, you know, a national SS.
Given the way, George, you've just put that, how do we explain then that Democrats, seven of them, did vote to pass this funding package last week before the death of Alex Pretty, but it was after the death of Renee Nicole Good? How did your fellow Democrats do that?
A couple of the people who voted for the funding package now say after the shooting of after the Pretty shooting that they would not have voted for this package. I'm glad they've come around, but they shouldn't have voted for it in the first place. I think that a hard line has to be drawn by this, and I understand what's happening is that the fear is that there's all sorts of things that the government does that people are going to be denied. I don't know. I mean, checks and subsidies and payments that the government makes because the government shuts down, and that's painful to Americans, to innocent Americans who have nothing to do, have done nothing wrong, and it's painful to constituents of Democratic members of Congress, but. What is happening here, the way to look at it, is that Trump is holding all of those things that the government does for people hostage, and we can't allow that to happen.
Let me ask you then about this dilemma for Democrats, and it's about, in a way, language, but it's certainly a political issue, which is whether the Democrats should be demanding abolish ICE, or, as some say, the risk of that is that Democrats will sound as if they're saying there should be no restrictions on immigration, there should be no holding of the line at the border. The Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, has been criticized because he's only been talking about reining in ICE agents. I know there are other Democrats who say the slogan should be demilitarize ICE, because that would kind of split the difference. Where are you on this, and why are Democrats finding it so hard to settle on a single message?
I think we have to abolish ICE. I mean, ICE is rotten to the core. But abolishing ICE doesn't mean abolishing immigration enforcement. We have to move to a more humane and more rational immigration enforcement regime. And that requires spending more money on immigration judges. It requires a completely different operation than the one that we have now. It is being used as a method of controlling cities are controlling places that are politically not favorable to the president. It's not being used for immigration enforcement today.
You're currently running for office as a Democrat in New York's 12th congressional district. You've told us your position is abolish ICE. Do you have any worry at all about the phrase hurting your chances? Simply, I'm just thinking about defund the police and how it meant one thing to the Democrats who were using it, many of them, but it meant something else to voters. Are you worried that it could hurt your chances of winning there in New York?
I don't think it'll hurt my chances of winning in New York, because I think most people in New York agree with that. But I am 62 years old. I am not running for Congress because I decided I want to make politics a career. I never thought I'd run for public office. I don't give a shit about, you know, whether something is politically unpopular or not. I'm running because I don't think enough people appreciate including Democrats, appreciate the dangerous moment we are in. Half measures do not, will not work here. I do not think we can make it to January 20th, 2029, unless this administration is terminated before then.
You've been using some really strong language in our conversation, including, you know, the F word of fascism. You are, as I said right at the top, you're running now as a Democrat, but you were a Republican. What does this make you feel about those years you spent as a Republican and about the people you were close to, friends and family, who were Republicans?
Well, I mean, I cannot explain how some of the people who I thought, you know, had consciences are conducting themselves today. But the fact of the matter is, this is not the same Republican Party that it was that was existed 10, 20, and certainly not 40 years ago when I became a Republican. We are fighting for our constitutional existence here. We are fighting for the survival of this nation's heritage as something not, you know, never perfect, always trying to get better, but as a haven for the rule of law. And as a democratic republic. But I worry that people don't understand how dangerous this moment is, and including Democrats.
George, it's a very time-consuming job running for political office. So I know your time is precious and you've got to go. But very briefly, we do always like to ask our guests a what else question, something different. It's a big one. Is Donald Trump about to go to war with Iran?
President Trump is ramping up his threats against Iran. The president wrote in part on Truth Social this morning, quote, "Hopefully Iran will quickly come to the table and negotiate a fair and equitable deal. No nuclear weapons." He goes on to say, "As I told Iran once before, make a deal. They didn't, and there was Operation Midnight Hammer, a major destruction of Iran. The next attack will be far worse."
Just as he could go to war over Greenland tomorrow, he could go to war with Iran tomorrow. We don't know what he's going to do. He's under a lot of political pressure to create a distraction. He's created a distraction from the Epstein files and created a distraction from the mess he's created in America's heartland. It's entirely possible he's a spur-of-the-moment kind of guy, and he will do whatever he thinks it takes for him to survive.
We will watch and wait. George Conway, thank you so much for joining me on Politics Weekly America.
Thank you, sir.
And that is all from me for this week. Do make sure to listen to Friday's episode of Today in Focus as Annie Kelly speaks to residents of Minneapolis on how their city fought back against ICE and forced the Trump administration to make those reverses we've been talking about. Just search for that wherever you listen to your podcasts. But for now, it's goodbye. The producer is Danielle Stevens, the executive producer, Maz Ebtahaj. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks, as always, for listening.
This is The Guardian.